from the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome once again to Washington Watch. Coming up, as we move toward the end of the year, we look back on 2020, and we have seen some radical upheaval in American society. Spring lockdowns in response to the coronavirus pandemic erupted into a summer of protest after an African-American man named George Floyd died in police custody. Riots gave way to violence and looting, including a self-declared autonomous zone around the Seattle City Hall and a months-long standoff outside the federal courthouse in Portland. Many cries were raised and efforts advanced to defund the police. And as unbelievable as it is, some elected officials in many of America's largest cities publicly denounced their own police forces. The result was predictable. Demoralized officers walking off the job and, you guessed it, an increase in crime. All that was bookended by a farcical impeachment trial of President Trump in January and in November, the most contested presidential election result in over 100 years. What a year it has been. But it leaves us with the question, what's going on? Is all this just one long string of coincidences, or is there some underlying bigger issue at play when we look at the breakdown of law in our society? In just a moment, I'm going to be joined by Phil Hotzenpiller. He is the pastor of Influence Church in Orange County, California, and the author of aptly named book, One Nation Without Law. But first, let me remind you that as we approach the end of this long year, we know that monumental battles are just on the other side of this new year, and your partnership with FRC can make all the difference. When you give before December 31st, your gift will have doubled the impact thanks to a generous matching challenge. So let me ask you, will you partner with us to defend life, the free exercise of faith, and the family? Go to TonyPerkins.com and you can donate right there. John Adams, the second president of the United States, in a message in October of 1798, to the 1st Brigade of the 3rd Division of the Militia of Massachusetts, said this. He said, quote, "We have no government armed with power capable of contending with human passions unbridled by morality and religion." He goes on to say that our government was made for a moral and a religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. Well, joining me now to talk more about the state of affairs in America and the lawlessness that seems to be encapsulating and moving across our land, Phil Hotzenpiller. He is a senior pastor of Influence Church. He earned his BA in history and biblical studies and a master's of divinity with postgraduate studies at Oxford University. He has published more than a dozen business and leadership books, including the highly acclaimed One Nation Under Law. Pastor Phil, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Tony. It is great to be with you, and what a timely subject to be dealing with in the kind of the conflicts we've seen in America over the course of the last year especially. But even reaching back into our history, we see that lawlessness is not a new fad for America nor for the world. And I believe there's just a great resource in the Word of God and in studying culture and uncovering what's really going on in our world today.
Yeah, and let me set the stage a little bit more with our listeners, because you and I were actually having this conversation over dinner a few months ago in Southern California. And you mentioned, we were talking about a number of things, and you mentioned this book. And most books are usually after the fact. You were a little ahead of the curve here. You wrote this book in 2017, One Nation Without Law. And I mean, it's so timely because that's right where we are now, where lawlessness is really invading every level of society.
It really is. And when I was approached by my literary agent about a book somehow dealing with end times or what's happening in our world, I had about four or five ideas, and one of them was The Mystery of Lawlessness, which was the working title, which is a phrase right out of the Bible in 2 Thessalonians 2:7. And as it developed, this new title emerged. And the basis of it really was a story that I had reaching back. I was doing a show for the History Channel, and I was the biblical expert. And there were, you know, people from UCLA, and there were philosophers and worldwide. And the producer, after I finished talking about the book of Revelation, he turned off the camera and he looked at me and he said, "What keeps you up at night? What scares you?" Just off the record. And without even missing a beat, I said, "Lawlessness. When lawlessness marches down Main Street unabated," I said, "that's when you have to worry, because that is a signal that society is really unraveled." And I wish I could have captured his expression in that moment, because it was like he was pierced through the heart with the concept that what would happen if there were no law? What would happen if the police were ineffective and the government could not stop the lawlessness? And little did I know at that moment that we would see something very close to that modeled in key cities across America just a few years later from that.
Yeah, what I mentioned at the beginning, a quote from John Adams. I mean, the founders had the same perspective. I mean, I think what they feared the most was lawlessness, but they understood that the government couldn't be big enough to demand that the citizens obey the law. I mean, if you have that, you have tyranny. What he was pointing to is the fact that there is a foundation that provides for a society that will be civil, where the citizens will abide by the law, and it is the moral law. And so I looking at your book, I think you point to this very clearly, that the further we move away from God and an understanding that he is the one who sets the rules, we delve into this lawlessness.
Oh, indeed. In fact, one of the things I say in the book is that the law, meaning that delivered law from God to Moses, is really represents a relationship with the lawgiver. So if you have law, but you don't have a relationship with the lawgiver, the law becomes something that can be discarded, revised, or, you know, just basically exchanged for another set of laws or rules or principles. But society isn't very good at working by their own conscience. And so we need this absolute standard of truth. We need the Word of God that then becomes the, you know, the foundation for the law that we enjoy today in America through our Constitution, through the Declaration of Independence. Those are foundational pieces. And so when we look at what's happening today, God is not shocked, obviously, by the lawlessness he sees, because man has departed, you know, in so many ways from the Word of God, from that relationship that you referred to that Adam spoke earlier.
Yeah, and someone would be dismissive of that, but I mean, I think you can clearly chart this. The further we move away from God's truth, the more we move into this moral relativism, and with it, lawlessness. I mean, I kind of jokingly said you were early with the book, but if you go back a few years, I mean, I watched this during the Obama administration. We witnessed, I think, the beginning of, you know, really what you call political polarization and lawlessness that has only increased. I mean, Eric Holder, President Obama's attorney general, became the first attorney general to be held in contempt of Congress. You know, we saw in Ferguson and Baltimore riots, I think, the seeds sown for what would sprout up in nearly every major city in America this year, because of the way it was dealt with. When we explain away and rationalize, and there is no objective truth, we give way to lawlessness.
Mm-hmm. Right. Exactly. Well, isn't it interesting that Jesus revealed himself as the way and the truth? Not a truth, but the truth. And the other thing that Scripture tells us in the book of 2 Thessalonians is that there's also going to be, people will believe the lie. And so we see this definite article in there put strategically by God for us to understand there is the truth and there is the lie. And some will follow the truth and some will follow the lie. And so when you get on that vein of the lie, it has multiple veins or streams of thought that go there. And some of them are religious, some of them are philosophical, you know, some of them are, you know, just moving in a direction of just cultural understandings, but they're still the lie. They still come out of the same root, and that is a lawless root apart from God. So lawlessness is not, you know, about the person who, you know, occasionally goes over the speed limit, but it's an intentionality that sets God out of the picture and puts either self or something else in the place of God. And that's what I see happening in America today.
And that has ripple effects, because it mm-hmm. not only affects the individuals involved, but it has an impact upon the broader society.
Mm-hmm. Oh, every facet of society. So if we're talking about lawlessness, think about this. So society passes laws to protect children, but in the process, they also prohibit the ability to correct your child. Or you give a child the ability to emancipate themselves because they don't like the rules. And so you see it run its course through school. School pulls God out of the picture. School changes, you know, the foundation. And so now everybody's operating by this crazy, you know, what's right for you, what's right for me, and there is no truth that we can really build on. I don't know about you, Tony. I don't know your background and growing up, but my dad was a colonel in the U.S. Army. And it was pretty clear how things were going to operate in my household. And while I found resistance at times, especially in my teenage years, I also found security in those years mm-hmm. because I knew what the rules were. And if I played by the rules, things went well for me. And if I didn't play by the rules, things didn't go well for me. And that really is the essence of what Romans 13 talks about is, you know, when there's not good leaders and good laws, then you have chaos and the gospel and Christians can't thrive in the world today.
Yeah, I want to talk more about that. We're almost up against a break here, and I don't want to get in the middle of a thought and then have to pick it up on the other side of the break. But so let me just ask you this. The book, One Nation Without Law, still available. How can folks, I think it's in the third printing, how can folks get a copy of it?
Yeah, they can go right to Amazon and get a copy. I don't know where we'd be without Amazon. They seem to be delivering all the books for us now.
Well, it's a great book, very timely, One Nation Without Law. Phil Hotzenpiller. Phil, we're up against a break. We're going to come back on the other side of the break and want to talk more about this from a spiritual standpoint, as we were warned. We were actually warned about this. And how should we respond? How should we be prepared for this? And then look at the connection between public policy and why, as Christians, we should be involved. Phil Hotzenpiller, my guest, as we delve into lawlessness. We've seen it all across America in the last year. And what does 2021 hold? Well, if history tells us anything, lawlessness is going to be with us, at least until the one who will be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords returns and sets up his kingdom. So it's something we got to learn to deal with, how to manage it. And we're going to talk about that with Phil Hotzenpiller here on the other side of this break. You're listening to Washington Watch, the website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter or Parler, it is at T Perkins. All right, don't go away. We're coming back with more Washington Watch right after this.
Hey, Matt.
Hey, Hannah.
What's going on? Why so gloomy?
Well, I'm a little disappointed. I had a lot planned to do during the stay-at-home time, and I just didn't do it.
Oh, yeah? What did you have planned that you didn't get to do?
Well, I was actually hoping I would finally be able to get time to do a regular Bible reading routine, and I started a couple of times. I just didn't stick with it.
Don't be too down on yourself. Starting a new routine can be hard, but one way to help is to join in with others and to have a good game plan. I think I have a good solution for you.
Oh, yeah?
Tony Perkins and FRC are doing a 2-year study in the Word. They have it all mapped out.
When did they start? I would be so far behind.
Oh, that's not a problem. You can literally jump in anytime. There's a daily reading, just a couple of chapters a day, with questions to help you think about what you're reading.
Nice. Where can I find this?
Go to frc.org/Bible, and you can get started.
Where's that again?
frc.org/Bible.
Got it. checking it out now.
In a recent poll, it was revealed that only 6% of Americans hold a biblical worldview. This research also indicated that Christianity's teachings on abortion, marriage, and homosexuality are not only misunderstood, but seen as dangerous and subversive. In response to this trend, Family Research Council has released a new set of resources in our Biblical Worldview series. In addition to our full publications, which cover the topics of Christian political engagement, abortion, religious liberty, and human sexuality, FRC now offers helpful summaries of each publication in this series, as well as accompanying prayer guides to help you and your family pray through these important issues. And finally, our popular Biblical Principles for Political Engagement is now available in Spanish. All these resources are free and available at frc.org/worldview. Again, that's frc.org/worldview.
Masculinity in America has never been under attack the way it is today. We've reached the point where the term itself is considered toxic or offensive to many. The consistent message in our nation is that masculinity by nature is bad and is the root cause of many of the problems plaguing our society. From his experience as a military combat officer and ordained minister of the gospel, Lieutenant General William Boykin has seen and dealt with firsthand the breakdown of leadership in our nation by the lack of godly men living lives of biblical purpose. In his latest book, Man to Man, Rediscovering Masculinity in a Challenging World, he addresses the essential elements of manhood as a provider, an instructor, a defender, a battle buddy, and a chaplain, and explains how to personally develop these traits and pass them to the next generation. Get your copy today of Man to Man, wherever books are sold. Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. So good to have you with us. The website, TonyPerkins.com. You know, as we were talking earlier, the riots that moved across America, actually the most costly in U.S. history when you look at the civil disobedience and the riots that took place in dozens of American cities. And this idea of lawlessness, this surge of lawlessness, not new. We're talking about it with Pastor Phil Hudson-Piller. He is senior pastor of Influence Church in Southern California. Phil, thanks so much for joining us today.
Great being with you, Tony, as always, and looking forward to this this section that we're going to talk more about lawlessness and what's happening and what we can do as Americans to stem the tide and make a difference.
And I want to jump right into that, but I want to start with a passage of Scripture in Matthew chapter 24. Then Jesus says, "Then many false prophets will arise and deceive many, and because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold." And I made reference earlier to the effect of lawlessness even among believers. As this lawlessness begins to permeate society, it has an impact upon them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, indeed it does. And a lot of people don't understand that they're actually operating within lawlessness, because if I put something in place of God, then I essentially am practicing idolatry. When I practice idolatry, I put myself outside of the protection of the law as well as the restrictions of the law. So I find myself a bit of a spiritual orphan, even though I may indeed be a Christian by my declaration, but by my behavior. What's going to happen as a result of that? And I think it's interesting, the scripture you read, Tony, because it says lawlessness will abound. So it's something that signals that this is not just a normal lawlessness. There's an abounding of lawlessness that happens. And in the next phrase in that is, and the love of many will grow cold. So what's the result of departing from God? It is our love grows cold. That means among believers. It means among outsiders. And I think in this recent year, this current year that we're living in, that we've seen lawlessness abound beyond what we thought was really possible and watched mayors of cities stand back and call it, you know, everything from a festival of love to the expression of liberty. And yet what was happening there, there was a lack of love for everyone around them that was being harmed by this brutality, whether it's stopping a car, whether it's burning down a building. There's just no feelings there. And feelings become so critically important in a good sense for us to love and be kind to one another.
So as Christians, when we live in this environment where in the lawlessness is not just on the streets of America, I would argue that it really began, I think, in the courtrooms of America, where evil was called good and good called evil. I mean, let me give you an example. This is a story that just came out a couple of weeks ago. Within the last couple of weeks, a Wisconsin man who was imprisoned for having raped his own daughter is constitutionally entitled, according to a judge, to receive a sex change at taxpayers' expense. I mean, this is a guy who was sentenced to 34 years in jail after pleading guilty to first-degree sexual assault of his own daughter. And now he identifies as a transgender woman, and the judge ruled that it was let me just quote from the judge, that the true public interest lies in alleviating needless suffering by those who are dependent upon the government for their care, ruling that this man had a constitutional right to a sex change. I mean, when you see that, I mean, that to me is like, that is just what creates the lawlessness, because we have moved away from objective truth into whatever we want to decry as being, or whatever we want to declare as being true and real.
Yeah, and you know what's really interesting about that, and people have, I've heard this being said more and more over the course of the last several years, and that is, that doesn't even make sense.
Right.
And when you hear that, you kind of wonder what is missing from society, and just make it society in general, not Christian society. Mm-hmm. And it is this ability to reason and to process logically and to separate and arrange truth so that you act in wisdom. And that is exactly what Romans 1 says would happen when we departed from God, when we suppressed the truth and unrighteousness, that we develop what's called in Scripture a base mind. And then further, in 2 Thessalonians, we see kind of the, let's call it the further extreme of this, is that God will send them a great delusion that they should believe, and here's that phrase again, the lie. So when we depart from God as a society, we stop reasoning and using logic in a way that makes sense, and then that becomes normal, and then as we keep this downward spiral, what happens is we fall into what Scripture calls a delusion. And then the final great delusion at the end of the age, of this present church age, will be the great delusion that introduces a character in Scripture identified as the Antichrist.
Right.
So you can see where this thing spirals out of control.
But, okay, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you see that progression. Romans 1, of chapter that many don't like to hear about. It's remote book of the Bible that I think someone made reference to. The fact is, though, that as this is occurring, those who are believers, who are walking in fellowship with the Lord, enlightened by the Holy Spirit, walking in truth, see the delusion. They see what is happening around them. They're grieved by it. And they have to live in this world and they have to respond. And that's what I want to talk about next. We're up against a break. But when we come back, how should Christians now live in a society that has rejected truth and reason when we see it so plainly and so clearly? Phil Hudson-Bell, my guest, talking about lawlessness in America, has a great book, One Nation Without Law. When we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with Pastor Phil Hudson-Pillar. To find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter or Parler, it is at T. Perkins. So again, stick with us. We're going to come back and continue our conversation with Pastor Phil right after this break. So don't go away. Lots more Washington Watch to come.
Since the 1973 Roe v. Wade Supreme Court decision, Congress and many states have taken various actions to stop taxpayer dollars from funding abortions or the abortion industry. As early as 1976, Congressman Henry Hyde led the effort to ban federal funding for abortions. The Federal Hyde Amendment, named after him, established the principle that abortion is not health care, and therefore taxpayers should not be forced to fund abortions. Despite these efforts, the abortion industry still receives millions of dollars each year in taxpayer money. In 2019, Planned Parenthood, America's largest abortion provider, received $616.8 million in government funds. Family Research Council's newly updated pro-life map tracks how your state has taken action to stop taxpayer funding of abortions. Go to frc.org/pro-life maps to see where your state stands in the fight for life. That's frc.org/pro-life maps.
Aw, man.
What's wrong?
I just missed Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, and our congressman was going to be on the show today.
Oh, that's not a big deal.
What do you mean?
Well, you can always catch the replay of the day's show.
How's that?
With the Stand Firm app.
Yeah?
Yep, you can catch that day's program and so much more. You can contact your elected officials on campaigns and policies that are important to you with the Take Action tab. You can listen to Washington Watch with Tony Perkins live and play previous episodes while conveniently going about your day. You can access the Washington Update, informative blogs, tweets, and critical campaigns on the main feed, so you can stay up to date on local and national news.
Wow, I definitely use that. How do you find the app?
Just visit frc.org/app and download, or search Stand Firm in the App Store.
Okay, that's Stand Firm.
Yep, Stand Firm.
How do you know all this?
Because I'm a SageCon, but that's another story.
Huh?
Listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. So glad that you are with us, doing something I rarely do. I mean, I probably only do this a handful of times in the course of 1 year, and that is focus the entire program on one subject with one guest. But I think this is so important that I am committing this entire program to talking about lawlessness. I mean, we've seen it on full display this past year, as I mentioned earlier, the most costly series of civil disobedience riots to erupt in American cities in the history of the country. And we need to make sense of all of this. And how are we to operate? My guest, Phil Hotzenpiller, he is the pastor of Influence Church in Southern California. But he's a lot more. He's an executive coach. He's done a lot of different things. But he's also an author of several books, including One Nation Without Law. Pastor Phil, thanks for spending time with us today.
Oh, great to be with you, Tony, for sure. And I know we were talking before the break about just what can we do,
right,
as believers, and how can we make a difference. And in some ways, the church has lost its ability to influence and transform culture. And that's why I so appreciate what you do and how you make it practical and you bring those issues right to the forefront. I mean, for me, you're like a super valuable resource as a pastor and a leader of how can I disseminate some of this stuff that's going on, because I don't have time to do that. And I know many, many pastors say exactly the same thing.
Well, I appreciate that. And our goal is to help believers operate from a biblical worldview. As George Barna, who is a part of our team, talks about, if we can develop the biblical worldview in people, and that really is the critical time, is from 18 months old to 13 years of age is when the foundation is laid for that biblical worldview, then all of these other pieces fall in place. And we are living in an exciting time, quite frankly, I believe. It's a challenging time. 2020 has been filled with challenges. But when we look at this issue of lawlessness, you made reference to this at the very beginning, how this is not new. This has been throughout the history of mankind. But the scripture gives us guidance, and this is where the biblical worldview comes in. The scripture gives us guidance on how to deal with this. So that's where we kind of left off, is how do we as believers in the midst of lawlessness, how do we respond?
Well, it's a great question. I think one of the things that I've noted, and just to kind of put it in some practical ways, that we're really talking about a spiritual warfare, that we look at the world from a natural standpoint, we look at it from a spiritual standpoint. And when we make that division, we can understand, wow, some of these things that are happening in the natural really have a spiritual background to them, and I need to know what that is. And that means I need to walk in the power of God. I need to be filled with His Spirit. And what that means is to be under control, under His guidance, to have His mindset about me all the time, to dig into Scripture, to try to take culture, take what's being said, and then look at the Word of God and say, what does God have to say about this? I think the enemy really has a threefold strategy. And here's what I put it this in the book, and I think it's still valid and in every generation it's a principle. First thing he does, he tries to isolate us from the power and the presence of God.
Yeah.
So if I can just get out of that, you know, he's already got step one done. And then to diminish the moment in which we live, that is, distract us from immediate opportunities that God provides. You know, I was thinking about this bill, SB 145 in California, that gave, it was basically the right for an adult to basically have sex with a minor. And it just kind of freed that up. And I learned kind of late on that one, about 2 days after it passed. But what hit me was it only won by one vote here in the state, just one person. And that means a whole lot of people, of Democrats, voted against it as well. And I thought, if we could have rallied the church a little bit harder, could that one have not passed? And I think we miss out the distraction. And the third thing, he wants to polarize us with fear.
Yes.
And what's happened over this year is fear has become the dominant force in the life of the average Christian and individual in America. And so fear becomes more, just a more powerful thing, and kind of ignoring that scripture that says that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and I love this next one, and a sound mind.
Right.
That our mind has to be sharp. It has to be ready and clear about what's the objective, what's the goal, and how am I going to get there?
It sounds like you're reading my show notes. That's what I talk about repeatedly. But, of course, the reason is it comes from Scripture. That's exactly what the enemy wants to do. And, again, we're up against a break. This was a short segment, but we're going to come back. I have a little longer time to talk. Folks, Phil Hotzenpiller, my guest, we're going to continue this conversation on the other side of the break, and really very practical. I mean, these are good things. What the devil wants to do is isolate you. We're going to talk about that, how you can prevent from being isolated from God and from other believers, diminishing the moment, distractions. Wow, there's so many distractions out there. And overcome fear with faith. We're going to talk about how you can do that. Practical steps as a believer so that we can contend with the lawlessness that is enveloping our culture and our country. Phil Hotzenpiller, my guest, he's going to continue with us. I hope you will as well. Check out the website, TonyPerkins.com. We're going to be right back with more of Washington Watch right after this break.
Get a trusted perspective on the news of the day every day. Listen to Washington Watch with Tony Perkins to get honest and in-depth commentary on what's going on in our nation's capital and around the world. Join Family Research Council President Tony Perkins live every weekday on over 800 radio stations across the country. Or listen to the show when it works for you by visiting TonyPerkins.com. On the show, you'll hear from guests like Ben Carson, Senator Josh Hawley, Representative Vicki Hartzler, Molly Hemingway, Pastor Jack Hibbs, Dana Lash, Sissy Graham Lynch, Pastor John MacArthur, Eric Metaxas, Albert Moeller, and more. Tony is joined by leading political figures, pastors, and policy and culture experts who will inspire you to be engaged and informed on the important issues facing America. For a Christian perspective on the news of the day, tune in to Washington Watch with Tony Perkins at tonyperkins.com.
Are you looking to grow closer in your relationship with Jesus Christ and in your knowledge of God's Word? Family Research Council has a three-part series titled, Three Ways to Read the Bible. This series shares helpful ways to be encouraged and directed by God's truth by observing the text of the Bible and applying it to your life. There's no better time than now to get to know God through His Word by looking into the Bible to see what it says about itself, God, and humanity. There's no better time than now to begin devoting time to the Lord and to seek out His meaning for you. This blog series is a great primer on opening your eyes and heart to Him through the Bible amid the toils and troubles of today. Check out this helpful resource and learn how to read the Bible with not just your eyes, but with your heart and mind as well. To learn more, visit frcblog.com/ways to read. That's frcblog.com/ways to read. What's on your daily or weekly reading list? Are you looking for honest and informative commentary from fellow believers on the current issues facing our culture? Family Research Council has just the thing. Check out FRC's blog at frcblog.com. The content on our blog is written by our policy experts as well as outside contributors. On our blog, you can read about a wide variety of topics, including religious liberty, life, marriage, family, sexuality, public policy, and the culture. Read up on some of our latest titles like Four Disturbing Trends in Religious Freedom Worldwide, Legitimizing Looting Jeopardizes Liberty for All, The Media Still Doesn't Get It, Conservatives Tend to Vote Conservative, and more. At Family Research Council, our mission is to advance faith, family, and freedom in the culture by helping you live out your faith and to stand for truth. Our blog is here to help you do that. Stay informed and get the resources you need at frcblog.com.
This is Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins, your host. So glad that you have chosen to spend some time with us. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Parler, it's at T Perkins. All right, Phil Hotzenpiller, my guest, talking about lawlessness in America. He's the author of One Nation Without Law. As I mentioned earlier, doing something I rarely do, that is focusing the entire program on one topic. Phil, before we went to the break, we were talking about how Christians can deal with these three issues that you said that, which I agree with. Satan wants to isolate us from the power and presence of God, as well as other believers. He wants us to be distracted, diminishing the moment in which we live, and polarizing us with fear. And I was just thinking it during the break, the scripture, where one of the ways we combat disobedience is through our obedience. And we may be tempted when, you know, everyone else is just disobeying the law, that, you know, we might be tempted to do the same. But we've got to be very, very careful that we walk in obedience with the Lord and His law and His truth, rather, so that we can contend with those who are disobeying His truth.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And, you know, I like to put it, the point of departure is the point of return. You know, where did you leave off with God? And you have to go back to that moment and find out what was it that turned your heart a little bit cold toward God. And there's a scripture in Hebrews that says, you know, let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, which is the habit of some. Mm-hmm. But then this next part, all the more as you see the day drawing right near. So the closer you get to the return, it says amp up your community and amp up your commitment to Christ.
Well, isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting, Phil, that during this year of lawlessness is when the churches were in lockdown and in many places told not to meet?
Right. And, you know, we experienced that here in California as much or more than anyone else with it. We made a decision, Tony, back on May 31st that we were reopening. And we saw how it was hurting our community and how it was hurting our you know, just the ability to navigate. And I remember that first Sunday when people came back after being gone for, you know, a couple of months, and they were just crying just to be in the house of God. And now we're still open, and we're seeing just record numbers of people, record number of baptisms. We're seeing a different caliber of Christian, I really believe, that are more committed to their faith than ever before. And we've had no outbreaks of COVID. We've had no problems, and we've had no interference, you know, from health or law officials, because they recognize that there are bigger issues here. And if we don't acknowledge our First Amendment rights, and we don't stand for what is true and right, then it's just going to be that much easier the next time when they want to close the church down.
Absolutely.
And I think last number I saw, Tony, was that there's about somewhere around 1,500 to 2,000 churches in California that are currently open, and that's out of about 40,000 churches.
Right, right. And I've talked to many of them, and they're experiencing the same thing. I've been in some of them experiencing the same thing with people hungry coming to Christ, hundreds of baptisms. But I want to point out one other thing, especially at those pastors that might be listening, that you paved the way, as did a number of these other pastors who were friends of mine, for times such as this by building relationships with the local elected officials. People don't realize how important those local relationships are. This goes back to the whole concept of interposition, which the founders used, of appealing to lower elected officials to protect them from the aberrant higher elected officials. And that's exactly what you've been doing in California.
Oh, this is a key. When we started this church 8 years ago, and we determined that we would be a friend of the city. That's what we said. We're going to help the city, and we know that sooner or later they're going to help us too if we help them. So we took the initiative, and so I've actually been the moderator at a mayor debate. I've been the moderator at two city councils. We have the city paid for an annual tree lighting at our facility for 4 years straight. We replace all the banners for fallen soldiers in our city at our cost, because we wanted to be a part of it. And that's just the beginning of what we do to try to, you know, help out our city. And guess what? It pays huge dividends. And I believe that the key, you just said it, Tony, it's so critical. You said it so much better than I ever could. But somehow that key of your local government is the key to your future in terms of your state and your local community, your city. And if you don't have the right people there, then guess what? On a national level, the president's not going to help you. It's going to be the governor. It's going to be the mayor that's going to crush you without strong, right, good local government.
And the good news is you can affect those elections if we get involved as Christians. All right, I want to go to this issue before we run out of time, because I think this is a big question on the minds of many Christians. We talked about contending with lawlessness by our obedience, exposing those who are disobedient. But let's talk about this. I made this, I referenced this news article about this judge who declared a constitutional right for a sex offender, a rapist, to get a sex change. Now, you pointed that it's illogical. Not only is it, you know, contrary to truth, it's illogical, it's contrary to the law, but the judge made it up. So when the government rejects the law, as Christians, we have to contend by obeying the law, but it's not necessarily the law of man, but rather the truth of God. How do we do that?
Well, yeah, and foundational, you know, is the Word of God. We have to be able to look with wisdom at the Scriptures and say, what is God telling us to do as a people? And sometimes it's counterculture. And we have to say, okay, you know, just like the apostles who were forbid from preaching the gospel, and they says they were subject to them. It doesn't say they obeyed them. It says they were subject to. So they said, we're going to obey God rather than man, but you determine what's going to happen to us.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And that means that, look, we're going to obey God, but we realize that we may suffer the consequences at the hands of man. That's a very, very important element to bring out in this. And we have to be willing to face those consequences.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And we've seen it around the world. We've preached about it. We've read books about it of other nations. But now we find ourselves, you know, on the doorstep of some of those very kind of opportunities to resist oppression and overreach by our government, not only our biblical faith, but our constitutional rights. And I just think the challenge is in front of us to say, if you don't stand now, you won't be able to stand later.
Yeah. Yeah. So well said. And you mentioned earlier, you said where we leave off with this current, pandemic crisis is where we'll pick up with the next, because we're setting precedent. And, you know, I've said this to people before, I don't believe I have the calling of a martyr. I'm going to contend for the faith, and if I lose my life in the process, that's fine. But I'm not going into it with an attitude of a martyr. I'm going into it for standing for truth victoriously. I believe that in this country, we still have the tools as Americans. You made reference to it. We have constitutional rights that we only preserve by using them. If we lock them away and say we have them but never use them, that's when we lose them and subsequent generations lose them as well. I'm for contending and battling for the faith and for the freedoms that so many have sacrificed so greatly to give us.
Well, you know, for me, I look back on my heritage, and I think it's such an important part if you're an American to look back and say, you know, who went before us and who paid the price? You know, and my 11th great-grandfather was William Baxter, who wrote the Mayflower Compact. You know, I've got, you know, relatives that fought under Washington, you know, as riflemen. And I go back and I watch this and I say, they did that for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
How can I squander the price that was paid for me to enjoy the benefits I enjoy today? And I think it's courage. You know, courage is not something I don't believe people are born with. I think it's something that comes from an inner conviction and a truth that supersedes the difficulties and the challenges and the evil that surrounds us.
Yeah, you mentioned earlier when you were asked the question by the producer at the History Channel, you know, what kept you up at night, and you said lawlessness. I've been asked the same question. What bothers you most? You know, what keeps you up at night? And I said, well, other than caffeine, nothing keeps me up. But the one thing that challenges me or troubles me is a lack of courage. Because courage, moral courage, is missing today. And if America is to be preserved, and I'm not talking about just this as a country, but the freedoms that we enjoy that enable us to take the message of the gospel around the world and to have been a blessing, with all of our faults, all of our problems, we still have been a blessing to the entire world and have sent more missionaries than any other country in history. And it goes back to the moral courage of standing for proclaiming what is true and not hiding in the midst of this this age of hostility toward the truth.
Yeah, and when you're unwilling to fall down and just give up, you know, I heard Billy Graham say one time, one man of courage strengthens the spine of 100 men.
Mm-hmm.
And just one person who's willing to stand and make a difference. You know, we have a large group of Romanians in our church who left, you know, Romania due to the oppression.
Right.
And so I have a great love for them.
Yes.
And they said, you know,
me too.
These are the things we started seeing happening. You know, the older generation of Romania, these are the things we started happening in Romania. They're happening here.
Yes.
We didn't come here for this. So they're very, very wise and experienced, whereas we are, you know, kind of novices in this whole process.
They are sounding the alarm.
They are. They are.
Pastor Phil, before we run out of time, there's so much I'd like to talk about this. I find this a fascinating topic because while we wrestle with this in the public policy arena and in the criminal arena, it is at its core, it is spiritual. So as we battle as Christians, as we contend with this lawlessness, give our listeners some practical steps of how they can be equipped to not just survive in this age of lawlessness, but actually thrive.
Yeah, and I believe the first step is your personal commitment. I mean, make a personal commitment to follow God every day. I mean, just get up in the morning, your first thing out of your mouth is, I'm going to follow God, sink or swim, do or die, I'm following God.
Yeah.
Ask God to open up opportunities for you to influence the world that you live in. Never diminish your influence, regardless how small or how large it might be. Just say, what can I do where I am? Sometimes it's one word spoken can change the whole course of what you're doing. And then I think study the scriptures. Find a topic like justice and study that one. And know your constitution. Know what's going on in your own city. Get involved on a local level. Even if it's a very small entry level, you would be surprised how much one voice can make a difference in this, in the place you're living. Know the policies, knows what's happening. I mean, you know, your website and your ministry is so valuable that these are things that are resources. You need some resources to fight and do battle with the enemy.
Yes, I would add one thing in that prayer, and it goes back to Romans chapter 1. I think the trigger of when they began to go down that that downward spiral is when they had hearts of ingratitude. And even in the midst of the challenging times that we face, we need to thank God every morning that He entrusted this moment in time to us, that we might be used for His purposes and for His kingdom. You know, this next year, I don't think it's going to what the challenges we faced in 2020 are just automatically going to stop at 11:59 on New Year's Eve. Lawlessness is with us. It has been with us in the past. It's going to continue to be with us. But in our faithfulness, we can overcome and contend with it.
You know, the subtitle of my book is The Rise of Lawlessness, The End Times, and the Power of Hope. And when you operate in biblical hope, which means confident assurance in what God has promised, God will secure.
Yes. And we can take that hope and share it with others when we're willing to stand and contend for it. See, I think the greatest expression of love is to proclaim God's truth to His people, because as Jesus said, it is the truth that will make you free.
Amen.
Phil Hudson-Pillar, thank you so much for joining us. Great read, One Nation Without Law. And I know we're going to have some future conversations, but thank you for being so generous with your time today.
Thank you so much, Tony. Great talking to you.
Great to talk with you as well, and Happy New Year. All right, Phil Hudson-Pillar, One Nation Without Law. Get a copy of the book. Very timely, because it gives you the biblical foundation to contend with what we are facing with what we're faced with today in America. But it also gives you the spiritual understanding that this is not just like this thing that just popped up. This has been running throughout time. But you can prevail in the power of Christ. All right, until next time, I leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul, found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, prepared, and taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is brought to you by Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. Portions of the show discussing candidates are brought to you by Family Research Council Action. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.